I want to share some thoughts this morning about change. And how we deal with it, how it affects us. And you don't have to agree with everything I say. Some of these are my thoughts, but agree with the scriptures anyway. And I want to start back in the 16th century when the Book of Common Prayer was being put together, and they wisely decided to do a sort of preamble about what it was all about. This is what they said. There was never anything by the wit of man so well devised or so sure established which in continuance of time hath not been corrupted. So what did they say? They talked about impermanence. They said, however good it is, these things that we do, they're not going to last. They're going to change. And so in terms of change, look up and see what the Concise Oxford Dictionary says. And the act or an instance of making or becoming different. Becoming different. We like the familiar. We like the cozy. We like the comfortable. And people don't like change. Yeah. Okay. So people don't like change. People rarely change until the pain exceeds the fear of change. Until it gets so bad, you've got no alternative. So we're actually in the midst, or at least the beginning, of a period of unprecedented change. It's radical change. It's not just tweaking things that have been. It's radical change. And in a sense, it's an unfolding of a prophecy in Daniel. In Daniel 12:4, this is what is said. And it talks about the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. It gives a picture of a lot of activity, a lot of traveling, knowledge just growing and growing. And that was the prophecy given in Daniel. And in terms of what has been said about the increase of knowledge, I just want to give some idea of what that actually means. And even this is a bit out of date. Based on the rate at which knowledge is growing, it can be speculated that by the time today's child reaches 50 years of age, 97% of everything known in the world at that time will have been learned since the child's birth. That's the speed that knowledge is increasing at. And there's another quote. It is believed that 90% of all scientists who have ever lived are alive now, and that as many scientific papers have been published in the years since 1950 as were published in all the centuries before 1950. That's a huge increase in knowledge. That's incredible when you think about it. Now, The purpose of prophecy, when you consider Daniel's prophecy, the purpose of prophecy is set out in 1 Corinthians 14:3. Three things in particular: upbuilding, encouragement, and consolation. Prophecy is never to bring fear. If a prophecy brings fear, something is wrong. Prophecy is to upbuild, to encourage, and to give us consolation. It's to let us know, really, that God's in charge. He knows what's going on. He's not caught by surprise. And it's just reassuring us, all these things, all this change, I know about. It's all in my plan and purposes. So how does this affect us? And how should we respond? Well, it's very interesting. You know, Jesus never used the word church. Where it's used a couple of times in the King James Version, Matthew 16, for instance, so on, it was changed by King James for political reasons. And it was changed from Tyndale's correct translation of Ecclesia, and which implies something very different, a very different mental model that we've come to know as church today. Now, somebody might say, well, look, does it make really any difference whether you call it church or Ecclesia? And that depends on your audience. You see, if to many people you say the word church, what's the image they have? They often have an image of a stone building with a tower or a steeple, a cross on top, perhaps some stained glass, no heating at all, and pretty irrelevant. And supposing you could communicate the reality of Ecclesia as a family, a people together, a loving group of people, filled with the Spirit, in love with Jesus, wanting to share his ability to save and to heal and deliver. That's very different, isn't it? Very different. And when you think of Jesus never using that word church, but 47 times talking about the kingdom of God, that gives us pause for thought, doesn't it? And what about the word Christian? We know what we mean when we say Christian, but what can it communicate to other people? Depending on which translation of the Bible you look at, the word Christian only appears three times in the whole Bible. Jesus never told his followers to go into all the world and to make Christians of all nations. Jesus never even used the word Christian. So where does this term come from? And it was originally a disparaging word. We have to rethink our terms, you see. When you and I speak of Christianity, we know what we mean. We have a picture. When we speak to some others, particularly outside this land, that conjures up sometimes the sort of medieval crusades with all their cruelty and all that they did. And that's quite a different picture. That's not what we want to convey, is it? So we need to rethink these terms and how we use them and how they're understood, because it does make a difference. And so how do we do church in future? What's required to make the same sort of impact that the early church had? They were accused of turning the world upside down, or the right way up, if you like. In Acts 17:6, these people were accused of turning the world upside down. How do we become a church like that? How do we become a people like that? I don't have the answers to these things. Like you, I'm just working through my way through some of these issues. And some things are obvious that we can do. We need a hunger and a thirst. Jesus called out to those people on that day, whoever is thirsty, let him come. We've got to be thirsty. We've got to be hungry. We've got to acknowledge things have changed forever. And the old way of doing things doesn't meet the challenges of the new. We have to have a positive expectation of what God is going to do. And I would sum that up in one word, opportunity. We need a willingness to respond and support the leadership as they address these issues. We need a willingness to think outside the box, to consider, when I say church, what am I talking about and to whom am I talking? What's the picture that person's going to get? We need a commitment to the one thing that never changes. Actually, the one person who never changes. I am the Lord. I don't change. So if that's true, we must. And then we need to make sure of our calling and giftings. We've been through that recently, our callings and giftings. So these things are important. We've got to rethink our understanding. We've got to consider how change affects us if we're going to see the sort of thing that the early church saw. They saw the world turned upside down. And I believe it's our opportunity at this time. And that's very exciting. Amen.